Should members of the Sackler family who own Purdue Pharma be protected from opioid-related lawsuits? Many states are suing the company, and some of them say the family is partly responsible for the opioid epidemic too. But the family is negotiating a deal right now in federal bankruptcy court that would put a legal firewall around their billions of dollars. NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann is following this story. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
What are the Sacklers offering in exchange for protection from lawsuits?
Members of the family have offered to pay roughly $4.2 billion out of their private holdings, and the Sacklers say that's a fair amount, in part because they maintain they did nothing wrong here. But critics say because the Sacklers themselves aren't in bankruptcy and don't have to open their books in the way bankruptcy courts normally require, no one really knows if this is a good deal. We don't know exactly what role they might have played in the opioid epidemic or how liable they might be for all the harm.
How on earth can the Sacklers use bankruptcy to protect themselves from lawsuits if they have not actually filed for bankruptcy?
Yeah, this is super complicated, so I'm going to use a chess metaphor. Imagine you're playing chess and you decide to sacrifice one piece in a strategic way that helps you keep all your other pieces. That's sort of what members of the Sackler family have done here. They put Purdue Pharma, their private company that makes OxyContin, into bankruptcy. But the Sacklers still have a lot of other pieces, right? They have other companies, real estate, art, and cash, all these profits from OxyContin sales, all of that worth roughly $11 billion. And none of that stuff is in bankruptcy. So what the Sacklers are negotiating to do here, and this is the controversial part, is have the bankruptcy court extend legal protections out from their one bankrupt company, Purdue Pharma, to cover all those other assets. By sacrificing one piece, they win a kind of checkmate. I spoke about this with Jonathan Lipson. He's an expert on bankruptcy law at Temple University.
After that, you know, if that settlement is approved, they will leave with whatever other money they retain, which, you know, some people think is billions of dollars, not only keeping their money, but they will be shielded from any further scrutiny because the release and injunction that's contemplated means that they can never be sued.
And one mystery here is we don't actually know who might be sheltered by these releases from opioid lawsuits. That's still being negotiated, and that's happening behind closed doors.
And I imagine, Brian, that lack of transparency is the reason that 24 state attorneys general are arguing that the Sackler plan is unjust. That's a word they're using, and that it should be tossed out. What's their extended argument here?
So these state AGs say if the Sacklers are able to use this bankruptcy maneuver to shelter themselves from civil lawsuits, it would set a really dangerous precedent. And that's because it wouldn't just stop individuals from suing the Sacklers. It would also stop state governments from holding them accountable. Here's Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey.
The bankruptcy system should not be used to shield non-bankrupt billionaires. It would set a terrible precedent. If the Sacklers are allowed to use bankruptcy to escape the consequences of their actions, it will be a roadmap for other powerful bad actors.
And I should say, the Justice Department also filed a brief last week questioning whether the bankruptcy court has the authority to do this. So opposition to this deal appears to be growing. And this is all expected to get hashed out in court hearings and negotiations over the next few weeks. NPR did reach out to Purdue Pharma, and the Sacklers, they declined to comment.
Brian Mann covers addiction and opioid litigation for NPR. Brian, thanks for this.
Thank you.